Happy 100th birthday to the Pearl Harbor Shipyard. The military had a big birthday bash to mark the event. HPR's Ryan Finnerty was on hand yesterday to celebrate this bit of naval history, and he's here now to tell us about the investment in the future of our economic driver. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Catherine. Yeah, so this is the Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard on Oahu, and specifically it was Dry Dock 1 that turned 100 this week. So that's one of the facilities in which Navy ships go to get major repairs done. They're lifted up out of the water. That's why it's called a dry dock. It was built in 1919, or they started construction earlier, and it was completed in 1919. And it was the site of several pretty historic repairs over the years. There were two destroyers that were damaged in the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, were fixed there. And just 2 months later, or 6 months later, rather, the aircraft carrier USS Yorktown was repaired. And this was really one of the great feats of World War II on the American side. The ship had been heavily damaged in the Battle of the Coral Sea 6 months after the attack on Pearl Harbor. And when it returned, a shift captain at the shipyard told the Navy's top admiral, Chester Nimitz, that it would take 3 months to fully repair the damage. And Nimitz gave them 3 days to complete the work. And they were able to do it by working round the clock for 72 hours. Everyone, all the workers from the shipyard kind of came in. It was all hands on deck. And the Yorktown was able to get repaired and get underway, and it left for Midway, where it participated in that really famous battle, which is viewed as the turning point in the war in the Pacific. And it really, this facility really remains critical to this day, according to the Navy. It's one of only four publicly owned, so owned by the government, shipyards that the U.S. Navy has, and it's the only one that's outside of the continental U.S. There's two on the East Coast, one in the Seattle area, and then the one here at Pearl Harbor. But the shipyards haven't really gotten much investment in recent years. There hasn't been a major overhaul since the 1960s and 70s when nuclear-powered vessels were introduced. But the facility really does remain critical to operations of the Navy. And I asked the facility commander, Navy Captain Gregory Burton, about that yesterday at the ceremony.
This shipyard is strategically vital in our Navy. There's only four public shipyards. This is one of the four. And when you look between the West Coast and the Far East, you know, what fully capable depot maintenance capabilities there are, you know, this is the only one. So strategically vital. It's been that way since Congress authorized the shipyard in 1908. With the construction of Dry Dock 1 that we just celebrated a centennial for today. And it continues with additional dry docks that we've constructed during World War II, Dry Docks 2, 3, and 4.
We heard some of the historical work that's been done here. Could you tell us a little bit about what's being done today?
Well, there's a recognition from Congress that across our public shipyards, there's a need for infrastructure improvement. We haven't really sustained our infrastructure since we incorporated nuclear power into our naval inventory back in the 50s and 60s. So we saw some pretty big infrastructure improvements then. And since then, we've been in a declining sustainment mode in shipyards. And Congress has recognized the need to improve facilities and infrastructure in the shipyards. Some of the things that you can't even see from, you know, eye level are the utilities and, you know, water mains, seawater, freshwater, electrical power underneath that are also in need of upgrading and repair. So we're in the process of doing what we call a shipyard infrastructure optimization plan that Congress has notionally agreed to about a $21 billion outlay over 20 years for all four of the public shipyards. I don't know how much of that funding may come to Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard. We certainly have a need for those facility upgrades, but we're putting plans in place to get those projects formed so that we can maximize our capacity and our productivity here in Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard.
I know you can't talk about everything, but what kinds of upgrades will be needed to happen here to accommodate future classes of vessels or even existing ones?
Well, when we finish up our last Los Angeles class availability in Dry Dock 3, it's a fast attack missile submarine. Dry Dock 3 will become obsolete The Virginia-class submarines, we can't provide enough lift, even with buoyancy assist modules, to bring a Los Angeles-class submarine in. So we'll need a new dock to take care of the future block designs in the Virginia-class submarine, as well as the new larger submarine designs that will be coming out.
And so, Catherine, that was Captain Gregory Burton, commanding officer of the Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard. And you heard him mention $21 billion approved kind of tentatively by Congress. That was back in February to make improvements to the four government-owned naval shipyards. So, and that would be over 20 years. So, as he mentioned, unclear how much of that would come here to Hawaii. That was a question I posed to one of our congressional representatives, Ed Case, who represents the 1st Congressional District, Urban Honolulu. He was at yesterday's ceremony, and I talked to him a little bit about the importance of the shipyard, both strategically and economically.
The importance of the shipyard is not going to decrease in our nation's defense. It's only going to increase. We face incredible challenges in the Indo-Pacific over the next couple of generations. We all know that now, and our country is committed to maintaining the absolute best military and defense posture we can, both for our own country and for our allies and partners, and for all of those who believe in the multi-generation peace that we've had. And so I believe that the role of the shipyard is only going to increase. We are going to have to invest and will be investing billions of dollars here over the next 20 years. The Navy has that need. They have that commitment, and we need to fund that, and I think we will. And so, obviously, together with just the sheer dollar investment in infrastructure and repairing dry docks and optimizing the shipyard, we always need to remember that it's not just facilities, it's people, it's the personnel. And we have the top talent in the world right here at our shipyard, and we need to keep it that way. And so I'm very encouraged by the quality of the shipyard personnel nowadays. They're doing the toughest jobs in the entire Navy, right here. They're repairing the most complex machines. They're taking care of the most complex workloads. They are handling the most complex project management challenges out there. And they're doing it with incredible capability. And so we need to maintain that. And so all of the apprentice programs that we run, all of the programs that we run to find the next generation of Pearl Harbor workers, train them, get them in, and train them up into positions of great responsibility and competence, we need to continue all of that.
Do you think there will be any issues securing that type of funding with a divided government?
You know, divided government comes and goes. But the needs of our national defense, for the most part, are constant over time. And so I've found, and I speak as a member of the House Appropriations Committee, and more directly, a member of the Subcommittee on Military Construction and Veterans Affairs. So that subcommittee is responsible for all military construction, including the repair and maintenance of Pearl Harbor. I have found it to be a quite nonpartisan approach. I think everybody understands the needs of our country in the Indo-Pacific. Every opportunity I have, I bring my colleagues right here to appreciate the strategic importance of Pearl Harbor and of our military. I just had a delegation out here from my MILCON subcommittee just a few months ago. We always take the opportunity to impress on our colleagues back in Washington what the importance is, but not just to talk about it, but to actually show it to them. And I have always found that if they come here and experience what I am responsible for and live every day, that they do appreciate the necessity of continuing that funding and really understanding the context for the military's appropriations request. So I'm really not worried about divided government over time. Now, that's a problem in other areas of our country, but this is one of the areas where all parties do tend to cooperate over time.
So Catherine Hawaii Congressman Ed Case there. We'll have to see what plays out with the funding, but you heard him there sounding pretty confident that it will come through.
Yeah, and he did talk about the workforce, and I believe the shipyard just had one of their largest graduating classes, so that's terrific.
Yeah, just last week, I believe. They hire for the apprentice program every year. I think they're having a job fair in September at the Blaisdell, they said. So people can be on the lookout for that, and they usually take 100 to 200 new apprentices each year.
Yeah, so good for them. A workforce, very important part of the island's economy. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Sure thing.
That was HPR's Ryan Finnerty talking about a centennial celebration at our Pearl Harbor shipyard.